Support for To Your Health comes in part from Dr. Theodore Watkins of the Watkins Institute. Dr. Watkins advocates holistic medicine and teaches lifestyle changes. Further information is available at www.twiliving.com.
You know that health is wealth, and ital is vital. They're not just some rhyming words. It's something that's just got to be heard. Who is responsible for your health? Look in the mirror, it's your very own self. You can't rely on nobody else. Health is wealth, ital is vital. Try and take care of yourself. Health is wealth, ital is vital. You can't rely on nobody else. Health is wealth, ital is vital. Try and take care of yourself.
Not just to inform, but to turn your life and health around. I'm the host, Dr. Theodore Watkins, and we're here with our able assistant, Mr. Frank Smith. How are you doing today, Brother Frank?
I'm doing well, Doc. Thank you. And we have some people to thank for successfully meeting our pledge goal next week.
Last week,
and we're in one now, the last week. So help us meet our goal. The people we have to thank are Bill Barnes from Hyattsville, Maryland, Christopher from Woodbridge, Virginia, a friend from District Heights, John from Silver Spring, Sharon from Alexander, and Terrence from Annapolis. Thank you.
Thank. We want to thank each of them, and they helped us to reach our goal even after we had gone off the air. And so we just want to thank them for their support. You know, today we're going to take a deep dive into a topic that touches millions of lives, often in silence and shame. And that is understanding food addiction and its prevalence. You know, many people struggle with intense craving, these compulsive eating habits, or feeling that certain foods just, they hold a power over them, Brother Frank, and over their daily choices. But it is simply a matter, I guess the question is it simply a matter of willpower? Or is there a deeper neurobiological mechanism that's at play? Today, Brother Frank and I will explore how this hyper-palatable foods can affect the brain's reward system, and why food addiction is far more widespread than most realize. And most importantly, we're going to take a dive into how to control your health and starting today. We want you to grab a notebook and let's get started. I'm very excited about this, Brother Frank, because, the reality is that, this food addiction, it's described as a behavioral addiction that's characterized by compulsive consumption of specific, highly palpable food items, foods that are rich in sugar, in fat, and in salt. All destructive foods, Brother Frank. Mm-hmm. And these foods tend to trigger brain reward systems. And it's similar to substance abuse disorders, it involves the loss of control over eating and the continual use of foods despite negative consequences, such as weight gain and adverse health issues. And these are problems that we know exist. Now, there have been studies to show that in the United States, about 19.9%, say 20% of the population here in this country has food addiction. That's one in five. That's a lot of people, Brother Frank. That's one in five people. That's hundreds of millions of people, Brother Frank.
Yes.
That's addicted to food. You know, now it seems that women are more likely to be addicted than men. Actually, it's about almost twice as many women. You know, 12.2% to 6.4%, almost twice the number of women are addicted to foods than our men. Also, individuals as classified as being overweight or obese, they tend to show a higher rate of addiction. You know, it's greater than double, you know, than people who are of normal weight. And I asked the question, I want to know, well, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? You know, is it the obesity or the food addiction? Mm-hmm. And what the literature shows is that the neurobiological and clinical evidence indicates that it's actually bidirectional. All right?
Mm.
There's this feed forward loop where addictive eating behavior can cause weight gain, but gaining weight and consuming these highly palatable foods can also affect the brain chemistry and create the food addiction.
Oh,
all right, man. And so that's something that's, you know, I would have thought the food addiction came first, but it seems like they work both ways. And something that surprised me is that the age group that is worse is between the ages of 20 and 20 way. And when this dopamine is released, it produces this intense feeling of pressure. And there's a crucial over a reinforcing behaviors teaching the brain to seek foods again and again and again. It triggers this warning, this desire for certain foods, you know. Now there's also the consumption of these foods that they can also stimulate the release of certain endorphins. You know, these are indigenous opiates. All right, you know, when some of the chemists studied endorphins in the brain, they use that as a model to make certain drugs like morphine and so forth, you know, because these are highly addictive kind of foods. And what happens is they compete with the opiate receptors in the brain. All right. And therefore, you get this pleasure, this liking aspect of eating, and that further reinforce the consumption of foods. Now, that's some powerful stuff, you know.
Yes.
And what happens in essence, that the food addiction proposes to involve a switch from the natural, the homeostatic eating eating to meet the needs that's regulated by the hypothalamus to this eating for pleasure, you know, that's driven by this reward system, you know, and it ultimately overrides the brain's ability and capacity to regulate the foods. Now, the problem is that the food industry, Brother Frank, like the tobacco, them other drug lords, have been able to come up with products that tap into these reward systems. All right, and we talked about them. They're the salt. They're the sugar. They're the fats, especially animal fats. And you take something like yogurt, and yogurt is packed with butter fat. Mm-hmm. And if you eat their foods, this is another characteristic of addiction. They continue to eat these foods despite the known harm. All right. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's some terrible behavior, you know, and the harm is physical. It's emotional. It's a harm to your health, you know, but they keep on eating it. You know, you eat, if you regularly eat ice cream with the sugar and the fat.
Oh man.
It will lead to a deadening, a dopamine response, and then this response will trigger the brain, and you go get that milkshake. I mean, I used to, you know, when I had my sugar addiction, every Saturday night, I had to go up the street, and I had to get me this strawberry milkshake, you know, because in that milkshake you had the fat. All right.
Yep.
You had the sugar, you know. I don't guess there's too much salt in there, but you had the salt and the fat and the sugar in that milkshake, and I was addicted, and the thing is, on most of those Saturday nights when I would go home, I'd have a headache. All right, and I didn't know that the headache was due to my sugar addiction until I got off sugar.
Wow.
And the headaches went away, you know? So at least in this case, I didn't realize what I was doing to myself. I just knew when I got off decided to get off of sugar, I just knew that it didn't make sense for me to eat that stuff, you know?
Right, right.
But I didn't realize how addicted I was to it. And I had to actually go with my little skinny self, 6 feet tall, 155 pounds, to a weight loss class. I went to this weight loss class because they were teaching how to get off of sugar. And I did it. And when I did it, all those bad symptoms go away. But one of the things that happens when you eat these foods, your dopamine response is dulled. All right.
Yeah.
So you don't have as much dopamine that's being released. All right. And so you have to actually overeat, in order to achieve the same degree of satisfaction. And we call that, tolerance. You actually get a tolerance for certain foods. And you have to go over and over. Well, we're giving you some awesome information, but y'all got to pay for this information. I mean, this is too good to give away free. So we need some folk to call, the tier. We need some folk to call and 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739 and pay for this information, Katia.
Well, you know, Dr. Watkins, we don't exactly say they pay for it. They Oh, you're getting me in trouble right now. Okay, they say we say they support it. They support actually information.
That's much better.
Yeah. But you're right in that this is information that can actually heal us. You're giving us information that we can use to heal ourselves. Many of us have gotten off of sugar, off of salt, off of all forms of dairy, and have felt improvement in our bodies, a reduction in inflammation. And Dr. Watkins really just gives us the tools. Whether we use them or not, that is on you, the listener, or me here. But Dr. Watkins gives us freely the tools that we need to heal ourselves, to have a better quality of life. And if you appreciate that and appreciate that he comes to you, and he is a true healer, bringing us this information, then we implore you, we ask you now to help support to your health. And our goal for this hour is $575. We can do that, folks. If we have three people pledging just $20 a month, being a sustaining member at the $20 a month level, you will have helped us exceed this goal. And again, WPFW is not here for us. I mean, we are here on the air, but it is here for the community. It's here for the people. It's to liberate us in every way possible. That is what WPFW was founded on. So again, please support Dr. Watkins and Frank and the good work that they do, putting together an excellent show every week, every Monday, 2 to 3 p.m. $575 to go. The number to call, 800-222-9739. Or you can go online to WPFWFM.org. Gentlemen?
All right. And I know that there's some people that were just waiting for the opportunity to call and contribute to this program because they appreciate the information that we're given. And it's not that I'm so great. It's just that this information is out there and we need it for our community. We need it for our village that we're trying to build of healthy people that are disease free. So one might ask the question, Brother Frank, what does fatty and sugary foods have in common? And a simple answer is that they're energy dense foods. Energy dense foods, meaning you don't have to eat a lot in order to get a whole bunch of calories. Mm-hmm. You don't have to eat a lot to get fat, you know? So part of what happens is that these calorie dense foods, they're the ones that lead to the numbing of the dopamine. They're the ones that lead to the tolerance that develops as a result of eating these foods. Part of the addictive component. And it's like if you compare cocaine and crack, mm-hmm. okay, they're the same drug chemically, but smoking crack cocaine delivers a much higher dose quicker to the brain, all right? Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing when you eat these highly dense, calorie-dense foods. You're sending crap to your brain, and mm-hmm. you develop this tolerance. It's just amazing. Both obesity and drug addiction shares the inability to restrain behavior.
Yes, yes.
In spite of the awareness of the detrimental health consequences. Mm. That's powerful, you know. That's powerful. We have someone to thank there, Brother Frank.
Yes, sir. I don't know who it is right now.
We have to find out who it is. We want to thank the caller for nice gift.
We want to thank a friend out of College Park, Maryland. Thank you so much, friend. So we're down to 475 to go, folks. 800-222-9739. We have 36 minutes to do it. And you always come through for Dr. Watkins and the great information that they share. Please let today not be any different. 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org.
Thank you, friend. Thank you so much. You know, and this is the thing that's the inability to restrain the behavior in spite of the awareness, the knowing of the detrimental health consequences. That's a piece that's really significant, and this is true for obesity, as well as it is for drug addiction. And so we have to be aware that this is occurring, and someone might ask, is obesity a form of addiction? And the answer is yes. I mean, it's no question. If you give a person who is obese an opiate blocker, all right, that's something that will block the overdose and using cocaine. You give them a opiate blocker, they will actually eat less cheese. They eat less.
Dr. Watkins, could I just interject here for a minute?
Please.
Well, I know that I have people in my family who actually, and so I just want to make sure we lift those people up. I have people in my family who actually have health conditions dealing with obesity. It's not, they actually eat less than I do, and they eat well. You know what I mean? They eat good food. They eat whole foods, but they have other issues with obesity. So is there a way to, and we know people in our midst also who have this issue. So is there, what would you say to that if someone says, listen, it's something chronic in my family. It's disease driven. It is not from poor diet or, you know, not taking care of oneself.
There are certain hormonal conditions associated with obesity. But the vast majority of obesity comes from overconsumption. What one has to do is determine the underlying problem and then go after that, you know. Yes. And if it is a hormonal issue, one can see if you can get the body back into balance, because the body is out of balance. The first question I would ask, though, I'd want to evaluate the diet, because some people think they're on a good diet, and when you actually look at it, it's not as good as you would think, or maybe when they're eating and so forth. Although there are certain people, I mean, I've been thin all of my life, and I used to eat a lot. I don't eat so much now, but I used to eat a whole lot and I wouldn't gain weight. Whereas some people just eat a little bit. I warned my roommate when I was in college. I said, when you marry that young lady, she's an outstanding young lady, but she's going to become obese. And the reason I said it is because I said she eats very little, and yet she's pleasingly plump already. All right. So you're right, Katia, and I'm glad you made that distinction. We're not, I love obese people. In fact, the reason I started first looking at obesity is because I was so skinny all of my life, and I didn't like being skinny. All right. And I figured, if someone who's obese, they don't like being obese. So I want to try to help them, if I can, to lose the weight, because obesity is associated with a number of health issues, whereas being skinny tends not to be. So you just hit it right on the head.
Well, thank you, Dr. Watkins. You know, we try to be as inclusive as we can here at WPFW and understand where everyone is coming from. And there are those people, you know, that really do have health issues that tie into them being obese. So we appreciate the way you just responded and gave us even more insight into the issues you're discussing today. I do want to thank Derek Murdoch, who says, Derek, nice to hear from you. Keep up the good work, longtime WPFW supporter there. So gentlemen, we are on the move, as they say, we're on a move. $375 to go, 800-222-9739. This is what it's about, community. You know, again, supporting that which is supporting you, and Dr. Watkins and Frank Smith are supporting us every single week with their knowledge, with their insight, also with their human humor and their generosity and their gentleness of spirit. So if you appreciate this program like I do, even though sometimes there's some hard truths coming up with Dr. Watkins and health, and I look at myself and what I'm not doing and what I should be doing and not moving enough, etc., I say, I always have a smile on my face listening to you all. I'm always laughing about something that you've said. And, you know, it's kind of like a spoonful of sugar. You know what I mean? Helping the or a spoonful of maple syrup, in this case, helping the medicine to go down. So $375 to go.
And it's clear, you know, I'm here because I believe in our people. We have health issues, and we're dying disproportionately. Some of it is our fault, some is not, but we're not to beat people up because of it. You know, we want to do something that's going to really make a difference. Obviously some of you agree. And we now just need $135. Why is that? Why do we just need $135 to meet our goal?
Because Fortune, Arlington, Virginia.
Yes, indeed. And because people are responding to your good work. You know, this morning you were on talking about kidney disease and preserving the kidney health. As you know, I have one kidney. Now you know. You may not have known before
I didn't know before, but I know now.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, that was such wonderful information. And again, as you said, it is something that disproportionately affects Black people, kidney disease. And often, as I mentioned earlier, I had a friend who died because she was on dialysis just too long. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Watkins, if you could just talk a little bit about the kidney, since you spoke this morning, this is a Minority Donor Awareness Month. So perhaps you could just share some words about how people can fortify kidney health.
So first of all, in the Black community, chronic kidney failure, we're four times as likely to have kidney failure as our white counterparts. Four times, you know, and some say it's because of genetics, but when we look at West Africa, we find that the West Africans, until they started eating like Americans, they had no diabetes, they had no hypertension, they had no kidney failure. But if you have hypertension, number one cause in African Americans, the number two cause of kidney failure is diabetes. So to have both of those, that really sets you up. But both of those are preventable in many cases and reversible diseases. But even there, we recognize that some hypertension has a genetic component, some diabetes. I know a family that started out about 15 of them. Not one obese, but all of them have diabetes, type 2 diabetes. So we know that there are genetic factors, but also there's significant lifestyle factors, because as they change their lifestyles, their sugars are better controlled, their blood pressures are better controlled, and we can prevent and we can even reverse these diseases. And one of the things that I want to give people is a sense of hope that we have these diseases, and we're always beat over the head because we got all these diseases. But the reality is that these diseases can be, many of them can be addressed, all right, can be addressed and can be reversed, you know. Yes. Just like food addictions can be treated, all right? And there are a number of methods to treat food addiction. And some of them use the model that they use for drug addictions, you know. Mm-hmm. One is the elimination diet, you know, and this is the abstinence-based model. And what happens is the strategy is to get them completely off of those highly processed sugars, fats, and salts. And so thereby they're preventing the constant activation and desensitization of the brain's reward system. So mm-hmm. get them off completely. And we see that in abstinence model used with alcohol and drugs, all right? But then there's another model, the cognitive behavior theory, therapy. And here they help individuals to actually identify and challenge the thought patterns and the emotional triggers that lead to this compulsive of eating. Mm-hmm. They also focus on developing coping mechanisms for the stress, for the negative emotions, for the cravings, and thereby strengthening the inhibitory control over these signals that's being craving signals that's being admitted from the brain. All right, but I added fasting and spiritual positive reading that will help to build the resistance to the temptation. You know, early on in my practice, I would teach my patients that. I think I need to get back to it, Brother Frank. Mm-hmm. Think positive me-building thoughts. Speak positive me-building words. Associate with positive me-building people. And read positive me-building materials. You want to flood your brain with positive stuff, all right? And then you want we want to thank a friend from Washington, D.C.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. That got us down to $105. $105 before we reach our goal. So we should be able to reach our goal and exceed our goal.
That's right. 23 okay. minutes, y'all. 23 minutes. Minutes.
We got to do it. We got to do it.
202-588-9739 or WPFWFM.org. We can exceed the goal, Dr. Watkins.
Yes, you know I believe we can. I believe it. And this station is worth it. I'm telling you. We gotta do this thing. Now, you know, and one of the other things that we need to build is this supportive care, I call it. You know, building a team, a village, a community around people that enables them to be able to some kids, my our oldest daughter, if I say my wife come by and smack me, Katia, it's always our.
That's right. Our you know oldest. That's right. You know that's right.
I try to take possession, and she said, you can share possession, but you can't take it.
Look, you know? At the very least, because, right. you know, where, how did she get here? Let's talk
right.
about that.
That's right, because I was there when she delivered, I'm telling you.
You were the support services,
I was
Dr. Watkins.
Boy, beat up on me, Katia.
800, I'm never going to beat up on you. You do too much good work. 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org. We have $105 to go, y'all. We're laughing and having a good time because that is who we are. We are the village. We are the community. But the kidney disease, the hypertension, the diabetes, they are no laughing matters, especially in the Black community. So come on, y'all. WPFW was founded here in 1977 to ensure that we got healthier on every level, intellectually, body, spirit, everything. This is what liberation is about. You can't get liberated if you're not healthy.
That's
you
right.
know,
That's
much right. harder. Right. You can do it, but it's much harder. We need everything working. And Dr. Watkins gives us those tools, 800-222-9739 or W. pfwfm.org, $105 to go.
All right. You know, I was talking about my daughter. She when she was 6 months old, we were just laughing and pinching her little fat jaws. and the thought hit me, Katia. A fat baby will be a fat little girl, will be a fat adult. And I told my wife, cut the food in half. Cut the food in half. Some people don't have that awareness. And those fat babies, those fat, cute babies, become fat, cute teenagers.
Well, but wait, Dr. Watkins, I got to push back on that a little bit now. Because, you know, Johanna, my daughter, had the cutest, fattest cheeks, right? I mean, you know, she is the thinnest thing I've ever seen right now. Like, she grew up, she just is really thin. And I think it's to your point that some people genetically, that is just who they are, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And my daughter is very thin now. But I think part of it, and she, Now she eats healthy, but for a while, that girl could put away some food and it wasn't healthy. But now she eats healthy, but she's even eating massively unhealthy foods, she was still thin. Because her daddy, when she was a baby, said, I don't want her growing up with that disability. Mm-hmm. Let's give her proper foods. And so we're teaching our audience today that may not have happened to you, but let's do something about it even now. Let's try to exercise more. Let's try to eat diet. Let's think positive. It's amazing how stress promotes weight gain. Stress promotes weight gain. Walter Morton from Tennessee.
Yeah, Bristol, man.
Bristol, Tennessee. All right. Got us down to $5.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mom.
Got us down to $5. Thank you so much for that that gift. So we got to exceed our goal today. We must do that because it's very important that we support this station so that we can continue to give this information. Speak to them, Brother Frank, about what we can.
Yes, it's important, very important to support this station. Not only does Dr. Watkins and I give decent information about your health, but the other programmers, they give vital information about political affairs. They give information about who we are historically. They give information about different things and the music and the poetry is extemporaneously given.
And guess what, Brother Frank?
Too.
All of that is to your health.
Yes, yes.
Because all of those things are part of a healthy individual. Mm-hmm. All right. And so it's important for us to recognize that, you know, and we want to support this and this whole station by calling 202-588-9739, 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739 and make a significant contribution to support not just this program, but this entire station because of the fine work that they do. I've been here over 20 years, Brother Frank.
Yes.
You know, over 20. And I've been here because of my belief in this station and the fine work that it has done and continues to do and plans to do even more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So this topic today,
Doc, can you give us how we know? Because my experience, and I've got some deep experience with addictions personally.
Yes. It causes us to be addicted, you know, or leads it to addiction. So you gotta stay away. And that's why the fasting is so important,
yes.
You know, because when you fast, you detoxify the body.
Mm-hmm.
You get those poisons out of your system, and then you're able to start over again. That's why in my practice, when people come, they want to change, one of the first things I tend to do is I tend to put them on a fast. All right? Why? Because when they go on a fast, Lord have mercy, we're over, thank you, friend from Baltimore. When we go on that fast, we're able to really cleanse the system of the toxins that are causing us to be addicted, because those toxins are constantly being fed. They're stored in the fat and the lymphatics,
mm-hmm.
and they come out.
Yeah.
And they affect the body. I mean, it's amazing, you know? And so we are excited that there are things that we can do. We can, number one, and she says she want to thank Dr. Watkins for the information that has that he has revealed. I thank the teaching
about the magic of Argo.
Argo.
Okay.
Argu.
Thank you.
So we want to thank you, friend, and three of our six callers didn't even identify themselves. They just supporters of the station, and we just want to thank you for that.
We have another one, Moses,
who made another contribution, and so he's from Clinton. So it doesn't matter how large or how small the donation. We just appreciate the support. And we look forward to being on the station another 20 years, Brother Frank.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'd be 102.
that's the thing about changing. You get long life and quality of life.
It's such a blessing.
Yeah.
That as we follow the principles, it makes a difference, you know, in your life. It makes a difference in your physical health. It makes a difference in your emotional health. It makes a difference even in your spiritual health.
In your sexual health.
all phases of your health.
All phases.
Yes, and we want to constantly recognize that. There are people out there who don't have your best interests at heart. All right.
Oh.
And so
to put it mildly.
Yes.
They're trying to kill you.
Yeah, they don't have your best interests at heart. And so what we need to do is recognize that that we have to do it ourselves, you know, in many instances. Yes, we want to bring in the appropriate medical personnel, but I'm telling you, much of the reason why I'm 82 on no medication, part of it certainly is hereditary. My mother died at 92. But her sibling but she was a vegetarian. She became a vegetarian after I did. But her siblings all died much younger. of kidney failure, heart disease, etc. So lifestyle certainly makes a difference, you know.
I extended my life for sure. I'm 13 years past cancer by changing my lifestyle.
By changing my lifestyle.
My dad died at 66 from cancer.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And what you proved is that these diseases can be reversed. You know, you were given a 6% chance to live 6 months in 2013, Brother Frank.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you outlive those numbers.
And I'm normal. I'm normal. If I can do it, you can do it.
We all can do it. And we want to help you to do it. And thank you again for your tremendous support. And I know others will still be calling in, and we'll make note next week. Any parting words, Brother Frank?
Thank you, Dr. Watkins and Kalia Chapman and Katia Stitt, and for your help in raising. And thank you to our contributors. You can listen to this episode and past episodes at wpfwfm.org. Next up is African Deep Thought Edition with Brother Kaba. After that, To the East with Ambrose Lane Jr. Support for 2-Year Health comes in part from Dr. Theodore Watkins of the Watkins Institute. Dr. Watkins advocates holistic medicine and teaches lifestyle changes. Further information is available at twiliving.com.
Vital is vital, you gotta take care of yourself. Health is wealth. Vital is vital, you can't rely on nobody else. Health is wealth. Vital is vital, try and take care of yourself. Health is wealth. Vital is vital, you can't rely on nobody else. Me say prevention is better than cure. You can't rely on the system no more. Say all over the West, the healthcare in a mess. Especially for the poor, that's for sure. Eat good, exercise and try your best. Might be seeing the doctor less and less. In all your own health, you have to invest. It's in the best of your interest, cause health is wealth. Vital is vital, try and take care of yourself. Health is wealth, vital is vital.
For WPFW News, I'm Sue Goodwin. Here are some headlines. Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu yesterday rejected the latest U.S.-backed Gaza peace plan. Netanyahu said he wanted a full Hamas disarmament first to move ahead. Just last week, President Trump announced that his Board of Peace had reached a deal with Hamas on disarming, but Hamas said handing over its heavy weapons would happen only when Israel ends all forms of aggression and withdraws its forces from Gaza. An initial ceasefire went into effect in October as part of the peace plan process. Since then, Israel has continued near daily deadly attacks on Gaza and now maintains military control of more than 70% of the Strip. In more news, a federal judge has allowed the Trump administration to end temporary deportation protections for people from South Sudan, clearing the way for thousands of deportations. WPFW's Noah Portner has more.
The protections known as temporary protected status had shielded South Sudanese nationals from deportation because of the country's ongoing humanitarian crisis. In neighboring Sudan, war between the Sudanese armed forces and the rapid support forces that began in 2023 continues. The fighting in Sudan has killed and displaced enormous numbers of people, while famine and the complete breakdown of civil society have made large parts of the country nearly unlivable. The Trump administration argues that people who can no longer qualify for TPS should return to South Sudan. But critics argue that sending people back while violence and humanitarian conditions remain puts severe risk on people's lives. South Sudan itself has struggled with renewed violence and political instability, while the wider region remains destabilized by Sudan's civil war. The decision is particularly striking because South Sudan is one of the world's poorest countries, and its people have repeatedly fled violence and famine in search of safety.
And in local news, on Saturday at the Anacostia Metro Station in D.C., Pan-African Community Action launched a transit solidarity program. The campaign began donating smart trip cards to residents struggling with transportation costs. The bigger plan is to organize for fully accessible transit for all residents and fight back against heavy policing and fare evasion penalties in low-income neighborhoods. In other news, in Wisconsin and Minnesota, closely watched primaries take place tomorrow, pitting center-left Democrats against further left politicians. Here again is WPFW's Noah Portner.
In Wisconsin, Democratic Socialist Francesca Hong is leading a crowded Democratic field for governor, while in Minnesota, Progressive Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan is challenging moderate Representative Angie Craig for the Democratic Senate nomination in Minnesota. The contests come after Progressive Abdul El-Sayed's victory in Michigan's Senate primary last week. This gives left-wing Democrats a major win in a key Midwestern state. El-Sayed's campaign, like Francesca Hong's, has drawn support from figures such as Bernie Sanders and reflects a broader effort to move Democrats towards more populist economic policies. Republicans, meanwhile, are already portraying these candidates as too far to the left for swing states. In Minnesota, Flanagan has made immigration and opposition to President Trump's policies central to her campaign, while Craig, her opponent, is running as a more conventional Democrat. The results could offer an early indication of where the Democratic Party is heading. For Democratic leadership, the question is whether more confrontational or Democratic leadership, the question is whether more confrontational or